Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in. Let's pray together. Gracious God, as we approach your word, help us to do so with wonder and awe. Open us to your voice. Continue to guide our steps, and by your grace, help us to follow. To your honor and glory, we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. We have a great story from Luke today, Luke 5, verses 1 through 11. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got in one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, the fishermen caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break, so they signaled their partners on the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid, for now, from now on you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to the shore, the fishermen left everything and followed Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our brother Simon Peter teaches us a lot about what being a disciple is, what it means. And we latch on to the ending of this text where immediately they drop their nets and they follow Jesus. That's one characteristic of a disciple, obviously, but there are more subtle ones in this passage as well. Simon treats Jesus with great respect in this passage. Now, a lot of people are great armchair quarterbacks or backseat drivers. And I think this is what Jesus is pretending to be in this passage. And you can imagine it would irritate Simon. Jesus says, "Hey, Simon Peter, take your boat out onto the deep water and cast your nets." And Peter was the professional. Peter was the fisherman. Peter had been at it all night long. Peter knew what Peter was doing, and he didn't need Jesus saying, "Well, if I were you," Jesus sounds, like a backseat driver. "I'm a fisherman, Jesus. I've been at this all night long. The fish aren't biting. Some days are like that. It's okay. It'll come back. I don't need to go out to deep water to prove to you that nothing is biting. I don't need to go out into deep water. It won't make a difference. I'm a professional." Peter insinuates this, all of this, when he says, "Master, we've worked all night long and have caught nothing." So we in this text have every reason to believe that Jesus doesn't know anything about fishing. Isn't he the son of Joseph, a carpenter's son? And we have every reason to believe, if we sort of trust this text, that Peter does know all about fish. And the fish aren't biting. And yet, Simon says, "I'll do what you ask." Why? Maybe Simon has just been taught by his mother to be polite. That's it. Maybe that's just it. When somebody asks you to do something, even though it doesn't make any sense at all, you know, if it's no skin off your teeth, do it. What's the big deal? Maybe Simon knows that he doesn't have anything to lose. Yes, I've been at this all night long, but I have a little extra energy. I can go out into the deep water. I can throw my nets in. I can haul them back in empty. It's okay. I have the energy to do that just to make Jesus happy. Why does he say yes? We don't know for sure. We don't know Simon's heart. We just know that he does. He says yes. If you say so. But we can gather Simon is doing this not because Jesus is some expert in fishing. We can guess that Simon Peter is being open-minded. We can guess that Simon Peter knows that he doesn't know everything. So maybe Jesus does know something. We can suggest, this suggests to us that Simon Peter isn't too jaded at this point. Maybe Simon does have enough energy to do this thing. Maybe Simon is willing to risk. Maybe Simon is willing to take a chance. Is this a characteristic of a disciple? To be open-minded, to be willing to take a chance, to risk, to take the extra time, to pause, to really consider what somebody is saying to you. Maybe somebody who doesn't know a thing about what you know. And just listen. Give them the time of day. Jesus says, take your boat out to deep water. Cast your nets. See what happens. Simon Peter has every reason to say no. And yet, if you ask it of me, Lord, I'll do it. We have a lot to learn about discipleship from Simon Peter. Somebody in the church says to you, hey, can you help me with this new thing? And we say, no, it's going to cost too much. It's going to take too much time, too much energy. Nobody's going to come. And we do it anyway. We do it because we're being asked. Okay. A newcomer in the lab says, look, have you tried it this way? Let's run the same experiment, but could we add this one new piece? Oh, you know better. You've added 10,000 pieces and you can't make the experiment work. But you go along with the newbie. You're going to teach the newbie the first lesson in his or her lab experience. And you run the experiment again against your better judgment. Your cousin says, you know, you should call that girl up that was at the dance. She's from Wisconsin. She's leaving tomorrow. You should call her up. You know she won't go out with you. You know she won't answer the phone. But you call her anyway. This probably won't work. This idea can't succeed. The girl will say no. Jesus, we fished these waters all night long. And yet, if you say so, sure. You remember that call of Isaiah? We read in the call to worship the call of Isaiah in chapter 6 of Isaiah, verse 8. But the voice of the Lord says, whom will go for us? Who will go for us? Whom shall I send? And Isaiah says, ooh, send me, send me. Seraphim and cherubim are floating around, and the sanctuary is filled with the robes of God's gown drifting down from heaven. The whole place is filled with religious special effects. There's the smell of incense. There's the chant of song. And Isaiah says, send me. It's as clear as a bell to Isaiah what he should do. Not so much, though, for Simon Peter. Simon Peter's circumstance is no less power-filled. Simon stands face to face with God, of course. It's just he doesn't know it yet. Like us, God is near. We just don't see. We apprehend a little at the edges, maybe, but we just don't fully comprehend. For Isaiah, it was so clear, so obvious. Simon, could it be that Jesus sometimes invites us to do something that doesn't make perfect sense? In fact, what has Jesus ever invited you to do that makes perfect sense? There are no flying angels, no holy smoke. Jesus is seeming to offer this offhanded suggestion. Oh, hey, by the way, Michael, put your boat out into deeper water. Cast your nets. Who knows where a yes against our better judgment might lead? Who knows where that yes might lead? The experiment could unlock some new scientific secret. The church program that we poo-pooed could be a moderate or a giant success. And that girl, well, she might say yes to that first awkward date, and it could turn into a wonderful 57-year-old marriage. You know, it starts with one word, yes. Not I believe, not I think you're right, not this makes perfect sense, just yes. Just yes. That empty net that Jesus says may fill with fish actually might. It might fill with fish after a long night of having worked hard and caught nothing. But this time, it might make all the difference. Jesus asks Simon a simple question, no big deal. Put your boat out into deeper water, cast your nets there. It's an invitation, of course. It's an invitation to trust, to test, to try. It's an invitation into relationship. This question, of course, will lead to other questions, scads more questions and deeper questions. And this day on the water will lead to the journey of a lifetime. When Jesus calls, even when it doesn't seem to make one bit of sense, it behooves us to pay close attention and be brave enough or foolish enough to follow Simon Peter's example. When Jesus calls, it behooves us to say yes. Say yes. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.